Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran, live here in the KSRO studio with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we are here from noon to 12:30. As you know, we come in here every week with a legal topic. We also field your legal questions by phone if you want to give us a call at 636-1350. That's 636-1350, and we'll answer your question live on the air. Rachel is now doing family law. So if you have a family law question, you can give Rachel a call down at the office at 544-9006. That'll include divorce. It'll include adoptions, a prenuptial agreement. Rachel, anything else?
Child custody, visitation, support, child support, spousal support, all those kinds of family-related things, the restraining orders, of course, if necessary, which I've been doing restraining orders for years and years anyway, so that's nothing new, but I usually do them in the civil context, and now I'll do them also in the domestic violence context.
So Rachel's now doing family law, so if you want to give Rachel a call down at the office, you can give her a call at 544-9006.
And I'm really excited about it. I it's kind of fun to take on a new area of the law, and it's really not that new to me. I've been, kind of dealing with these issues a little bit off and on over the years, and finally I'm just kind of going, I really enjoy this area because it allows me to connect with people on a one-on-one basis and help people through a really trying time in their lives, and that's kind of where I've wanted to go since I was a teenager. So I'm finally coming back around to where I really feel like I want to be.
Now, we have new laws for 2017.
Yay! Every year we have this episode where we will do our new laws for the year. And every year we do this, and so we're kind of excited about it. It's always fun to kind of come in here and go, okay, what's new for 2017? And we have a lot of new laws this year.
We do. We have almost 900 new laws.
898 new laws, and a lot of them are real small, and obviously we're not even going to be able to scratch the surface of 898, but hopefully we can kind of inform you a little bit today about some of the things that might affect you or those that you care about. So we're kind of going to give you a little taste of what's coming for 2017. And this is not really dealing with, we've already talked about a couple weeks ago, well, actually several weeks ago now because of the holidays, we talked about things that had been voted in by voters. And now we're going to talk about bills that have passed through the legislature. And this is not, what you voted in. This is purely government putting this down. And these are California laws. Charlie, are we going to get into any, federal laws, or is this mostly just California?
California.
That's what I thought. Okay. Now, that's what I've been looking at, is California.
So. Now, probably the most important new law that's going to affect the economy is the fact that minimum wage is now going to be $10.50.
That's just beginning, though, as we have all heard through, well, maybe all of you haven't, but I've been hearing for a long time this past year that the minimum wage is going to go up to $15 an hour. And trust me, I'm not happy about that. Being an employer, I'm not real happy about that. But what they're doing is they're going to do it in increments. And so it's going to start with this year, January 1st. If you have 25 employees or more, your minimum wage is now $10.50 an hour. If you have less than 25 employees, you get a kind of a year grace period to kind of put this into effect. So if you're a small employer, you're okay at $10 an hour for a little bit longer. But if you have 25 or more, you need to go to $10.50, and then up through incremental changes over the next 5 years until we get up to $15 an hour.
Yeah, so employers, you're going to have to be planning on the fact that you're going to be paying more money for wages.
Which, and I do want to talk about this just briefly, because I personally have a little bit of a gripe about this being an employer, and a lot of people never are employers and don't really understand all of the stuff that goes into being an employer. And that includes providing health insurance, dental insurance. We even provide life insurance. And then, of course, all the Social Security and you know, your workers' comp and all of that kind of stuff. So by the time, you know, you employ somebody, you're really putting a lot of money into it. And so what ends up happening at $15 an hour is all of a sudden you start going, I'm not going to hire somebody with no experience for $15 an hour to be a receptionist at my office. So maybe now we go to those really annoying automated voice message trees where, you know, you get the number and they say, for this person, dial this number, and for that person, dial, you know, and it's like, who likes that? Nobody likes that. I don't like that. I'd much rather have a person pick up the phone and say, hey, here I am, what can I do to help you? Then, oh, well, for this person, dial this number. And so what we're doing is we're pricing high school students out of the market. We're pricing first-time job seekers out of the market. I'm just not going to pay that kind of $15 an hour.
Summer students.
And now they're getting into, if you want to have an intern, you're supposed to start paying those. And it's just like, at some point, it's so employee favorable that the employers are going, I'm not employing anybody. Forget it. I'm going to robots and automated systems that are cheaper. And I think it's a real crime.
Okay, also under AB 1732, all single-user restrooms meant for public access by March 1st must be identified as an all-gender toilet facility. So I guess that's mainly putting that little sign on the wall that just says the little man and the little woman.
Right.
Okay.
And at some point, that's going to be politically incorrect, you know, because women don't only wear dresses and men can wear. And it's just, okay, really? You know, it's a restroom. Go use it.
We put
the seat down.
Okay. We have an overtime for that's applying to agricultural workers. Now, overtime starts at 8 hours for most employees, but agricultural workers must work 10 hours a day before they receive overtime. The law introduced here that begins in 2019 and includes through 2022, so they're testing it for 3 years. It drops back the overtime threshold by a half hour each year until overtime starts 8 hours. For agricultural workers.
All right, I'm doing devil's advocate today, obviously, because I'm, you know, complaining about each of these. Now, here's the thing. I have also been an employer in the agricultural sense. I've been an employee in the agricultural sense, too. There were time when I was managing and working in vineyards many, many, many years ago, and I was probably the only white woman out there doing it that I knew of at the time. But here's the problem with that. It's really frustrating because the employees have rights, absolutely, and I agree with those rights, and employees should have rights. But the problem is agricultural workers, for example, in vineyards, which are so abundant here in Sonoma County, you're working this time of year at pruning, and you're working in the early summer, maybe doing some leaf removal, that kind of thing. And then you have harvest. And that is when those grapes have to get in when they get in. And what ends up happening is you're diluting the market. If you say you have to pay, nobody's going to pay overtime for agricultural work if you can avoid it. And you can avoid it. And how do you avoid it? You avoid it by spreading the work among a larger group of workers. The one worker who maybe wants to work 10 hours so he can get that extra 2 hours of pay is now being priced out of that market, and he can't do it anymore because your employer's not going to pay him time and a half. And if the employer doesn't pay him time and a half and he works those 10 hours, then those 2 hours, he can get sued for that. And there are penalties that go along with that and attorney's fees that go along with that. So it starts becoming a really bad proposition. So what ends up happening is the worker now can't make the extra money he might have been able to make. And I don't think that that's fair to the employees or the employers. And I think that workers should be able to work overtime and just get paid their regular hourly rate if they want to do that. But that this law is saying, nope, can't do it. And the employers, if you are an employer, if you even have a small vineyard or any type of agricultural concern, just make sure, even though it's saying that, you know, there's a little waffly room here where they're, you know, starting to edge it back, just be real hyper aware of this, because you can get yourself in a world of hurt, a world of trouble by not paying overtime fees. And if you're at all confused about this, then go ahead and look it up. It's really important that you understand this, because you're going to get yourself in trouble if you're an employer and you're not paying real close attention to how you are paying your employees. And okay. We've had this case, and it's really awful what can happen to you.
Okay, speaking of employers, employers appealing an unfavorable labor commission ruling for wage and hour violations must now post a bond if they're going to appeal it. And the bond amount, which includes penalties, will be forfeited to the employee if the employer does not prevail and does not pay the amount owed within 10 days. So that's an insurance bond upon appeal. Now, that's different than it has been.
Hopefully you just don't find yourself in that situation. And if you do, give us a call. We can, you know, give you some advice on the topic, but hopefully that won't apply to you.
Okay, now about cell phones, and everybody's got to know this. About cell phones, Californians are no longer allowed to use a handheld wireless phone or wireless electronic device while driving, unless it's mounted on the vehicle windshield or dashboard in a way that doesn't hinder the driver's view. Now, that means you can't even hold the darn thing. They don't want you texting. They don't want you dialing numbers. They don't want you using it.
They will allow you to do a single tap or swipe, and that's it. So if you're a regular cell phone user in your car, knock it off, because they're getting real serious about it now and they will be pulling you over. Personally, I'm a big fan of don't text and drive, and don't talk on your phone and drive unless you've got, you know, some sort of Bluetooth or whatever.
You were telling me some statistic about cell phones.
I don't have the numbers handy, but it is true that more people are injured and more importantly killed by texting drivers than by alcohol infused drivers. So it's become a really big problem, and the police are cracking down.
And you still see people do it.
Yeah, so just don't do it. I mean, really, you should never text and drive. Never. Hopefully the new cars that are coming out, they have, you know, text ability where the car will actually read your text to you, which I think is great. And I know we're all tempted. I've been tempted to look at that text, and just please don't do it. And I have to, you know, regularly rag on my kid, because I go to pick him up on a Friday night at Dungeons and Dragons. Yay. And, you know, he's texting me, Are you almost here? And I have to tell him, I'm not reading text. Do not text me. You know, my car does not read my texts to me. But if you call me, I can get it through my car. My car is Bluetooth compatible. So I said, call, don't text.
Because mine does.
I know, you're lucky. You're special.
Okay. So we have a new, matter of fact, a new set of charges to the Highway Patrol office. That they're going to, you know how we allow lane splitting of motorcyclists here?
I hate that. I really do.
Well, we allow it. We're one of two states that do. California and Florida allow lane splitting by motorcyclists. And
the only two states that allow it.
This new law asks the California Highway Patrol to develop education guidelines in a way that ensures the safety of motorcyclists, drivers, and passengers.
I don't mind if my car is stopped. But when I'm moving and the motorcycles come up, it invariably startles me. I mean, and if I see them coming, I will pull over, and I try to be polite about that. But I really just think it's so dangerous, and it scares me. I don't know if it does anybody else.
Plan on paying more for your vehicle registrations now. The registration fee on every vehicle and trailer has gone up from $43 to $53. Beginning.
Same with environmental license plates, by the way. They're increasing the price of that by $10, too. So if you have an environmental license plate, you can be expecting to pay a little bit more than you were in the past.
Okay, well, we're talking about the new laws from 2017, and if you have any questions about those, give us a call here at 636-1350. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
Coast to coast, late night, all night, on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
If you need legal help and don't know where to turn, call Charlie Cochran, that's me, or Rachel Erickson, that's my partner. At Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison, we are attorneys ahead of the curb. We represent clients in cases involving civil litigation, personal injury, and wrongful death. Insurance companies don't put you first. We put you first. Call us at 707-544-9006.
Tune in to Ask the Legal Experts, Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson, Mondays from noon to 12:30.
ADT presents What to Consider When Considering Home Security. An ADT sign is more than a sign. It's a line in the sand. On one side, your family. On the other, an uncertain world.
For over 140 years, more people have chosen ADT to help prevent crime than anyone else. Get ADT starting at just $28.99 a month.
Tested, trusted, proven ADT.
With 36-month contract for licensing and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com.
All right, people, let's start the meeting off with a round of quick-fire questions, shall we? Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
Last question, by switching to blank, we now have the tools that give us full visibility into company spending, which helps our bottom line.
Concur.
Bob, very impressive. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
You get tomorrow off, Bob.
Thank you.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from 12 to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we do a show based upon some subject. Today we're talking about the new laws of 2017.
And during the break, we had a telephone call from a Harley rider who says that that he suffers from some serious consequences if his motorcycle stands idle for too long. I'm not sure exactly, but thank you for the call. And I'm always interested to hear about motorcycle riding from motorcycle riders. They terrify me. My father was killed from one, so that's just my own personal fear speaking, but I do appreciate Harley riders and have known lots of them in my lifetime. And
let's talk about sexual assault. We now have a clarification.
Okay, now from motorcycles to sexual assault. Good morning, happy Monday, everybody. the charming show that everybody loves to listen to on Monday. Okay.
Sexually assaulting an unconscious person or a severely intoxicated person will become a crime that is ineligible for probation. You will have to serve some jail time for that.
Yes, and I mean, I think that this is a really this has been a really big issue over this past year, and most people who pay attention to the news at all are aware of this. There was the Stanford swimmer Brock Turner who
he was originally given 6 months in jail, and then yes, they turned it into a probation.
Yes. Yes. So, but I don't remember if the female he assaulted was just drunk or if she
was unconscious.
Yeah, she was unconscious, whether it was date rape, drug, or alcohol. I don't remember.
And the point of this.
He did assault her.
And the point of this is that the unconscious or severely intoxicated or drug-induced person cannot, as a matter of law, give consent.
And I think that is a really interesting point. Being a lawyer, we pay real close attention to how they phrase things. So the phrasing of the inability to give consent as a matter of law is really interesting, and that's very firm and very straightforward. So there's, and I'm sure over time there will be case law that defines at what point you become unable to consent. But also, just so that you know, in addition, that will be rape. It will be the crime of rape if you assault or physically assault a person who is unable to give consent. So that's a pretty serious change of events.
Anna, we're going to have to educate our young people about that.
If you have teenagers running off to college.
College-age students.
College-age students tend to be the issue, but I mean, we all know Bill Cosby, so you know, it's a real serious issue, and you need to educate people that don't know about this and educate yourselves about this and be real aware that this does happen, and it's not something that we want to see happen. And in addition to that, they have also concluded that primarily females, but people under the age of 18, minors, cannot be prostitutes by law.
They're told to be victims.
They are now victims. If you're 18 and forced into a life of prostitution, you're a victim, not a prostitute. So that's another big change in the law. And it's really been interesting to see this area of law surrounding trafficking of humans, largely females, but there's, you know, this trafficking that goes on, and the awareness of that is really being heightened right now, and I think it's a darn good thing, and it's about time. So keep an eye on that kind of stuff. Most of us, that's not going to touch our lives, but still, it is an interesting thing to be aware of.
Skipping around here about school mascots, California public schools will be banned from using the name Redskins. Now, that's because American Indians regard the term as offensive, and but that doesn't matter. We in California, now remember, this is California law. Californians can no longer allow their mascots to be, quote, Redskins, unquote. Now, one high school here in California, that would be Calaveras County High School, Calaveras High School, chose to drop the name and don't. Well, they're just not going to have a mascot. So that's one idea. I know that the Sonoma State University used to be called the Cossacks, and that was not politically correct, so they changed their names now. So we have...
But then you go, you know, you think about things. Personally, I'm a UC Santa Cruz grad, and, you know, go Banana Slugs. Go real fast, right? Okay, that's their mascot. And, you know, UC Santa Cruz is kooky in a lot of ways, and that's one of them. And then you go down a little farther south on the coast there, and you got CSU Monterey Bay, and their mascot is the sea otter. Oh, boy, scare me, man.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, so whether Washington will change their Redskins is a whole different issue that is not covered by California law, obviously, but we'll see what happens with that.
Well, hey, we have the Fighting Irish.
Well, yeah, and yeah, but that's different.
It is different.
And also, I don't see them complaining right now, or maybe I'm missing it, but, you know, the Chiefs, the Warriors, you know, you got a lot of that kind of stuff going on. So we'll see how this progresses over time. But for now, for 2017, in California, you can't use Redskins.
Now, I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Go watch Peter Pan sometime. There's a really offensive little bit in Peter Pan about why they call the red man red. And it kind of was shocking to me when I saw it with some young kids not so long ago.
I didn't know that this was an actual substance, but there's something called powdered alcohol.
I saw this and I went, what? I've never heard of powdered alcohol.
Well, under the Senate Bill 819, it's illegal to possess, sell, make, or use powdered alcohol. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I don't know where you would get such a substance, but, you know, if you know something about that, you know, give us a call and let us know what you know about that. But I'm like, wait, there's a law about this substance that I didn't even know existed. So
We have a new law that's probably not going to affect you, Rachel, but that's called drinking in hair salons. Your stylist has been drinking wine and beer for years, but whilst you cut your hair, it is now legal. It is now legal for beauty salons and barber shops will be allowed to serve free wine and beer to their clients until 10 p.m. at night.
Which I don't know. Sounds fine to me. But I think it's interesting because, you know, most places have to apply for a wine and beer license, right? I mean, but now you're hair salons and barbershops don't. And then also, I'm going to add a kind of a small one, but it's kind of an important one. Forever and ever and ever, at least the last 15 years, if you got into a car accident and you had property damage of $750 or more, and that was the cost, if it cost more than $750 to fix your car, you had to fill out a DMV form called an SR1 that would let the DMV know that you'd been in an accident and that your car had this damage. That goes up now. The reporting limit is now $1,000. And the reason I wanted to mention that is because most people don't know that they have to do that. But if you do get in any kind of an accident or your car suffers damage of over $1,000, you are supposed to report that to DMV. And it used to be $750, and now as of 2017, it's $1,000. So get your SR1s and fill them out. That's kind of important for a number of reasons.
Probably one of the biggest new laws which are going to affect Californians in this final minute or two that we have with you is that terminally ill patients in California will be able to use experimental drugs which do not have full regulatory approval to end their lives.
And doctors cannot be penalized or prosecuted for doing this. And this comes on the heels of a very public thing where a very lovely young lady was terminally ill and she moved to Oregon and she went public with the whole thing. And I'm sure most of us out there, you know, saw part of it or heard about it. And she was very public about it. She wanted to end her life. She was miserable. Her parents and friends and family and everybody was totally on board with it. So she moved from California to Oregon so that she could end her life in a dignified way and in a way that she chose rather than being forced to suffer. So now we have that option in California, which I think is really interesting. So, you know, hopefully you're never in that situation, but know that it's there if you are.
Okay. We have, like I said, almost 900 new laws, and you can look them up any number of places, and we've talked about some of them today. If you have any questions related to law-related topics or anything, you can give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. You can also visit our website at kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. We'll be right back.